resumes, right? We need them. They're just like taxes. They're an unnecessary evil, in my opinion. But in our next guest's opinion, they are not. They're something she loves to do. We're going to be talking with Demi Fritz, who is the SLP resume expert. So hang on, grab a cup of coffee, turn the volume up, and get ready to listen to an exciting, engaging episode all about SLP resumes. Welcome to the Missing Link for SLPs podcast. Have you ever wished you could go back and tell your younger self a way to do something better, or something that you've learned, or gosh, just those words of wisdom that you would have loved to have known when you first started? That's what this series is all about. I am interviewing guests and we reflect back on their words of wisdom and what they didn't learn in grad school. I think you'll be surprised by each one of these episodes. So sit back, listen, and enjoy. Hello and welcome to this episode of the Missing Link for SLPs podcast. We are here with a very, very requested guest today. I am so glad she's here. Welcome, Demi.
Hi, I'm so excited to be here.
So today we are talking things that you are deeply immersed in, all things SLP resumes, right?
Absolutely. That is my life now.
You are so popular. Your name is Demi Fritz. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
So I started SLP resume a few years ago because if you've ever Googled speech pathology resume, quite literally nothing comes up. So I started kind of writing down what I was doing, how I was getting these offers, and I found out I was pretty good at actually creating resumes. So what I actually started doing too was reaching out to employers and graduate school administrators, like just cold emailing them, just being like, hi, my name's Demi. I'm looking for research on resumes. What do you guys want to see? And all of the information that I've collected over the years is what we use to create these beautiful works of art, in my personal opinion.
That's good.
But that is kind of how I got started and how we've kind of gotten to this point. And it's been quite a roller coaster. I actually just left my part-time/full-time therapy job to do SLP resume full-time 100%. And I'm very excited about it.
Yeah. Excellent. That's why so many people are saying, reach out to you. So we're going to be talking about three SLPs who have come to me just through their coaching program. And part of the coaching they've done with me is resumes, which is why I reached out to you. So we're going to discuss three different scenarios today. One of them is for an SLP who is actively working on her resume and has a bunch of questions. Another one is another SLP who is going to be prepping for an interview. And the third SLP we're going to be talking about today is transitioning out of the SLP area and moving into something different. Okay. So, ready to jump in?
Absolutely.
All right. So our first one is, her name is Mary, and she is the one that is actively working on her resume. So question number one from her, is it necessary to list all of your full-time jobs on your resume?
Depends. So I hate to kind of be this person, but resumes are so different for each person that I don't necessarily have hard and fast rules for people. So if you're in the field for 5, 10, 15, 20 years, you might not list every single job you've ever had because that would be a 15-page document. Mm-hmm. So instead, I kind of look at what the whole person brings to the table. And if there's specific jobs that the person had that are more related to the setting that they're applying to, I'll put those on and maybe omit some of the ones that are not as relevant. But it also, you want to showcase maybe your gaps. So short answer is no, not necessarily.
Yeah. So what does she then do with, you know, the full-time jobs and those little part-time PRN positions? Do those go on there? What does she do with those?
I guess my question to you is she applying to the medical setting or is she applying to the education setting?
Medical.
Okay. So everything that's medical should be on your resume, but what you can do is omit some of those, maybe pediatric placements or educational placements that just don't bring as much relevance. Now, the key is, though, when you are writing your different experiences, Mm-hmm. Everything has to be different. So your descriptions can't just say over and over again, like collaborated with people to facilitate success or worked with dysphagia patients. Everything has to be unique. And that is something that I have really gotten good at over the years. But that is something that employers definitely want to see. They don't want to see anything repeated over and over again.
So I know there's going to be listeners who are like, let me go look at your Instagram and your website. Yeah. So while they're listening to this podcast, can you tell them where to go right now so they can open up and look?
Perfect. I love that idea. So my website is www.slpresume.com. And then my Instagram handle is just @slpresume. Pretty simple. I did not get creative with the name. It was pretty much just what came to me, but tons of information.
I bet you pop right up on the searches though.
Oh yeah.
That's great. Yeah. Super focused. All right. So with Mary, she's got her answer about what to do with all of the full-time jobs, PR and things like that. Can her resume be more than one page? Can it be like 2 pages? And would an extra third page dedicated to patient success stories be acceptable?
Okay, 2 pages is the absolute maximum. I would not do a page with the patient success stories. I would just include those success stories within your descriptions in your 2 pages. So include maybe a patient that did really well within your experiences. And then 2 pages is totally fine. I have not heard of an employer say one bad thing about a 2-page resume. I think it's more for the business world. So what happens like in the business environment is a resume has to go through an HR department and then get transferred to another place. For us, it's very different. Usually we go to an HR department, but it's all to speech pathology. It's not like you're applying to, director of sales, director of marketing, director of this and whatever, and trying to sort out where your resume actually goes to. So 2-page resumes are totally fine because of that lack of sorting process. It's very simple.
So what do the SLPs do who have a period of several years in their job history where they switch jobs frequently, like short travel contracts and things like that, and just other changes, mostly due to personal reasons outside of the career, but, you know, moved across the state several times? How do you deal with that information on a resume?
On a resume, I would just keep it simple. I wouldn't bring more attention to it, but in an interview is where I would talk about it. And it would maybe explain some of the reasons why you moved. But that's more of an interview question than a resume one.
Okay. So we're going to talk, the next section of this podcast is about interviews. So we will double back to that.
Okay.
Sometimes it's hard to prioritize the different sections on a resume. So can you go over the main sections of a resume to have?
So yes, there are different ones just based on different experiences, obviously, but the basic ones and the most common ones for professional SLPs, this is not for graduate students or for undergrads because those are completely different, but for professional SLPs, you want to include a professional experience, which is anything that you have any professional experience as a speech pathologist, education, a summary of skills section. And what this section is replaces the objective statement. Unfortunately, objective statements have kind of become outdated and less relevant. So instead, what I include is a summary of skills section, and that just outlines soft skills. You can include your professional development. You can include assessments, maybe that you're really that you know really well in and out. You can include research, that kinds of information.
How about awards?
For professional SLPs, if you have awards from graduate school, omit them. But if you have awards from your job that you've been awarded, then I would include those.
Would that include the ASH ACE awards?
Yes. And you can put that under, I've had a few of these and they've kind of all gone in different places just because of where the person was working, but I've included them in organizations. I've included them actually under licensures, under the ASHA licensure section. And just said this person received this award from ASHA. And then I've also included them in an award section.
Okay. And also you said list strengths.
Yes. List strengths is very important.
It's like writing skills.
Yes. So you don't want to just give a one word type thing. Give a short little idea. So like, for example, on the last resume, I just wrote commitment. Hold on, let me pull it up. Commitment to, I have it like pulled up on my screen or I wouldn't pass on this, but
I love one of the things I get feedback from the podcast that the listeners say is they love the real world examples that we have. So yeah, pull it up.
Perfect. So the last thing that I wrote on, or the last person's, I wrote commitment to building relationships with clients and families to facilitate success. So it's a little short blurb. It's not necessarily a sentence, but it just is a characteristic that's definitely important in our setting.
And about how many of those should be on a resume?
Ballpark. 5, 6, 4, 5, 6. Yeah.
Thoughts on including extra education like vital STEM, MBS, IMP.
Yep. Those can all go in your professional development section or a certification section. Just depending, I know I keep saying this, but it really depends on your own experiences. If you have 5 or 6 of these certifications, I make a whole certification section. You need at least 3 different certifications or licensures or awards to make a section out of it. That's kind of my rule for that.
So if you have, so you just said a 2-page resume.
Yeah.
And you have a section filled with job history.
Yep.
And you need to include some of the strengths. If there's not enough room for everything, what gets cut? What's the priority to keep on the pages?
Job history for sure. If you're more than 5 years out, you can leave off your graduate clinical experience. That's kind of my rule for that. So be done with that after 5 years. You always want to include your licensures because that actually helps get you through applicant tracking systems. And that, if you're applying to hospitals or if you're applying to big education school districts, that will help you get through those. After a few years of being in the field, maybe leaving out some of those less related jobs, like maybe you were a teacher before, you would leave that off. But now, you just kind of have to look at the whole person.
So is it better to add more information and details and accomplishments during your job history rather than list every job in your history?
Yes.
Or is it, okay, that's what I thought.
Yeah.
How do SLPs deal with gaps in their work history due to health-related issues?
Again, and not the place on the resume. That's going to be more for an interview. If there is a significant gap, what people will probably infer is maybe time off for kids or health reasons. And if that gets brought up at the interview, you identify, you can talk through that, have a plan or a story put into place for that interview portion. But for a resume, you can't. You can't really write it like, oh, I've had health issues, that's for this gap. Like, it just doesn't make sense.
Right. So, right. Yeah. When I reviewed resumes as hiring, I see the gap in there. And I'm just like you said, I assume it's for, you know, and I know the gap is there.
Right.
And frankly, it's probably none of my business. So right. Then I'll, you know, bring some questions up as appropriate in an interview.
Absolutely.
Should I make my name significantly bold and bigger than the text to readily make it stand out from the rest of the resume?
Yes. So without giving away too much, because I want to make sure that I'm protecting what my clients are also paying for, you want to make sure that you're adding some variation in your resume. Change to the fonts for the titles, bold, italicized. Use different portions to help it not look so mundane throughout the whole resume. Yeah.
Okay. So last question on the resume section, are resume templates worth the money?
No. Oh my gosh. If you guys listen, no, please don't do that. Etsy has a lot of templates. Every single Etsy template I've seen does not pass through applicant tracking systems. I'm just telling you guys, even if it says it does, those are not built for SLPs, okay? Those are built for other occupations. So do not purchase them. Don't waste your money. It's not worth it.
So tell us more about SLP tracking systems, application tracking systems.
So basics, without going into the hours of research that I've done into these. Basically, it's a way for a computer to get you through the initial scanning process. So basically, a lot of medical settings will have this. A lot of, like I said, big school districts will have this, but it's basically a way to scan to see if you qualify for the position. So those templates that we were just talking about don't often have that information listed. So then you're leaving out and omitting a ton of information that could be relevant to the position that you're applying for because they were not built for an SLP. So please don't waste your money on those. It's just come to me. I promise. Everything gets through applicant tracking systems with me.
Well, and I was just going to say, if you guys have any questions, go check you out at SLP Resume and your website.
And I wanted to also give your listeners a discount code. I created it about 10 minutes ago and I'm
great.
So I just wanted to have that on there. So the discount code is FreshSLP15. I usually only give followers 10% off. So I'm going to up that for you and give your followers 15%. So FreshSLP15 is what I have it down as.
Excellent. So the discount code FreshSLP15, and thank you.
Of course.
I just mentioned that we are closing in on 41,000 downloads. So I'm sure you will get some traffic. And this is all about what this podcast is about. It's collaboration and pulling together other SLPs who are in our field, like me, passionate about what we're doing.
Yeah.
So you ready to shift to the next section of the podcast? Okay, interviewing skills. This is from someone named Sarah, and she is actively interviewing for positions, again, a Med SLP. Please explain why you're interested in this position. What's a good way to answer that question?
So I'm actually going to hold off for 1 second on that question, and I just want to give you guys a little background on why I think I'm an expert on interviewing, because I think it's important to know where your information is coming from. A lot of people are claiming to be interview experts and all this, and it has taken a long time, a lot of practice to get to this point. So I have interviewed for 25 positions. I've received 25 offers. I have also been on 12 different interview panels for the school district and for a private practice that I worked for previously. And then I've also interviewed people to be on my team. So I have a team of 6 now, and I've interviewed at least 30 people, 40 people to actually get those 6 positions. So it has been quite a process collecting all of this interview information. And I just want to give the background, because when I listen to these podcasts, I'm like, well, how does she know what she's doing? You know, so I just like to let people know I know what I'm doing from all.
I love it. I love it. That, you know, self-advocacy right there. This is who I am. This is all about, I've got a coaching called the Badass SLP, and they're like, what's the Badass SLP? You just gave that definition. This is who I am. This is what I do. And this is why you want to come to me.
I don't know if you know anything about the Enneagram, and I don't know if your followers do, but I'm an 8, which means I am very into like self-advocacy, self-confidence. Yay. I want to push other people to be there too. And so that's kind of what I'm all about. And
excellent. That's
who I am. I love that.
All right. Very impressive.
So let's get back to this question that you just asked about, tell me why you want the position. Mm-hmm. Research. Oh my gosh, you guys. Don't just stick to the first page of Google. Unfortunately, very little information comes up on that first page. I have gotten articles, press releases, figured out who I'm going to be interviewing with and find out what they're passionate about. Really get to the core of why you want this position and what aligns with the research that you're doing for the position, and kind of merge those two things together. So research, research, research. Go to 3, 4, 5, page 6 of Google. I know whoever does that. That's craziness, but I promise you'll get some good stuff.
Excellent. And then practice.
Practice, but here's the thing. You don't want to sound like a computer robot that has every answer memorized. I think it just sounds like you're not yourself. And the resume is really to see what knowledge you bring to the table. The interview mm-hmm. is to see if you're going to be likable, if you're going to be a good team member. Mm-hmm. I have hired people that I seem to connect more so over somebody mm-hmm. who is more qualified, just because that's the person I'm going to be working with. I want to have that person on my team. I enjoy their presence, and that's what they want to see in an interview. So if you're a person like me who did not have a 4.0 GPA when I graduated grad school, or if you are a person who maybe didn't have the best clinical experiences, but has a really positive and optimistic point of view and is very likable, you will probably get a position over somebody who did. So just try to show yourself more than these recorded answers that you kind of have created. Yeah. The more memorable you are, the better.
So what about the SLPs who are not the bubbly, here, I'm going to be a great team member? How do you overcome some of those challenges?
So I do a lot of work with these SLPs because there are a lot of introverted SLPs, and I think that's something to overcome in an interview setting. What we start with is a ton of confidence building. If you can feel confident in a situation, you can put forth that those soft skills and those characteristics that are going to fit that position. So we do a lot of confidence building, and just a few little confidence building tips for your followers. First thing is you are not nervous for an interview. You are excited. You need to shift that mindset. Mm-hmm. The physical function or the physical outputs of excitedness and nervousness are the exact same. It's what your brain actually identifies as the situational factors that tell your brain, oh, I'm feeling super nervous, or oh, I'm feeling super excited. So if you can identify your nerves as excitement, oh my gosh, you're going to feel so much better going into that interview. The other thing is manifestation and visualization. I know this sounds like hoaxy, but I swear it works. So if you actually manifest yourself in a position and you are seeing yourself 5 years down the road, loving your job and being there and like just living for every day, and you're excited to be there, your brain will subconsciously make decisions to get you there. And that's a super cool. It's worked for me for this business, literally like that. I've manifested this, and that is what I wanted. So it works. And then the last one, I have so many, but I'm like trying to also respect my clients.
Rest of those, go look at your Instagram, because you have fantastic Instagram posts.
Sure. Superman pose. Let's do that one. So stand in front of the mirror and stand mm-hmm. like Superman and tell yourself what an amazing human you are. SLPs are kind of known for being the people who pour from an empty cup, because we don't often mm-hmm. give ourselves credit and give ourselves confidence. We just want to help everybody else feel good about themselves. So take a minute, feel good about yourself. Don't pour from an empty cup. It's not worth it. I promise. You're going to burn out.
I agree. And those that have come that I've worked with, it's really exciting whether you go, just find some resources like Fresh SLP, SLP, Badass SLP, SLP Resume, somebody who you resonate with to polish the skills, improve the skills, target whatever that you need to move forward in your career.
Yeah.
So interview questions, how would you explain your ideal setting to work in? Any thoughts on responding to a question like that?
I think it kind of goes along with what we just talked about, is like, what are your values aligned with? What kinds of things do you resonate with when you're looking for job postings? I know for me, I was working for Alex Zakos at Meaningful Speech a year ago or a few months ago, and I just left, but she aligned with my values. She focused mm-hmm. on kids and play and growth and understanding what kids need in order to get there, and that resonated with me. So you have to really see what's going to fill your bucket and excite you on a regular basis.
So again, that goes back to the research you said. Make sure you know where you're going.
Yep.
So this next question is a little tougher in interviews. Please explain your most recent hands-on experience working in a blank setting, school setting, outpatient rehab, medical, whatever the setting you're applying for. That seems like such a broad question. What are they looking for with that, Demi?
Okay. So for this question, I would say interview prep is kind of the way to go, because I have a whole tactic of how to prepare for these types of questions. But basically, you're going to want to not memorize answers to questions like I just talked about. Instead, you're going to want to memorize stories. And in interview prep, we'll actually work together to kind of mold these stories and understand how to present them for questions that are a little more challenging and open-ended like this.
All right. Last question on the interview section. Actually, I can think of two questions. Is how do you target during an interview the gaps that you have on your resume for personal reasons?
So wait for them to bring it up. So let's say they say, oh, there's a big gap here. You know, what happened here? And if it was for a personal reason, you can kind of just say, you know, there was some personal stuff going on at that time. I'm really excited about being back in the field. During that time, I took some CEU courses to stay relevant, list some of those maybe, or say something like, you know, I stayed up on the research. I was very involved in this way. Basically, what they want to know from that question is if you've studied up, if you've kept your mind working in the SLP field. And even if you have not, you've probably had to keep up your ASHA certification. So you had to take some CEUs, right? So you can usually like list a few of those and just kind of answer it like that. But you don't have to like tell any personal information about it yourself. Don't let them trick you into doing that. That's not necessary.
I like how you touch on it and then shift it around into a positive, and I'm excited to be back. So it's that language, that mindset. What do you do though if an interview does start to go sideways for whatever reasons?
Okay, this is the best question, and I get this question all the time. So what I personally have done, because there have been interviews where I'm like, oh no, I'm not in the mindset. This is not going well. I've taken a step back. Give yourself a minute, take a drink of water, try to take like 3 or 4 diaphragmatic breaths. So breathe from your lower lungs, get that heart rate down and recenter yourself, refocus. Try to focus more on your stories. Try to focus more on showcasing those positive qualities instead of knowing everything. Usually when I would get flustered is when I was asked a question that I didn't know. And I get so like, oh my gosh, I'm supposed to know this. This is everything, you know, but it's okay that you don't know. Okay. I promise you, they're not going to judge you. They're not going to be upset with it. Actually, a little tip for you guys is if you do say, I don't know, in an interview, easy follow up with where you're going to find the information. So, oh, I don't really know much about stuttering modification therapy. I'm going to find it on the ASHA website, or I'm going to talk to a professor that I had who I know is very knowledgeable on the subject. Then when you follow up within 24 hours of your email or within 24 hours of your interview through an email, include the answer to that question. Genius. Because it shows them that one, you know how to find the information and that you are a go-getter. I've gotten 3 separate job offers from doing this exactly. And the people have told me it was because I did this. So take the extra second. It's okay to say, I don't know. It helps reduce your flustered feeling because you're like, oh my gosh, you know, and it works. So just make sure you follow up. And I do have a template available on my website for following up after an email or after an interview if you need that. So,
any website once again?
www.slpresume.com.
Got it. Thank you. So, anything I can do to help you.
Yeah.
So, resumes, interviews, email etiquette, following up is go find your template, make sure that you follow up with those items that were discussed in the interview.
Yep. And I do have different templates for different phases of your career. So I have them specifically for CFs and I have them specifically for professional SLPs, just because it's going to be different information. So there's different ways to word things and different information you're going to present. I also have job negotiating templates too. So after you get the offer, don't be afraid to negotiate. It's so important. At least try. It doesn't hurt to ask. Okay. So those templates are available as well.
So I've got this really fun course I do, SLP Rejection Challenge. It's where you ask and you get used to hearing no. So you start off with a little no's. Can I have a refill on a pop? Can I do this? And you get used to not handling them in a personal manner. It's nothing personal. It's, you know, but being brave rather than not asking those questions and then later on wishing you had.
Yeah, absolutely. It's important to be able to take rejection and to take mm-hmm. feedback and to run with it.
And something else you did that I really like is when you were doing the role playing of, oh my gosh, I don't know, you added humor into your response.
Nice.
So important. All right, last question, our last case scenario. These scenarios come from clients, SLPs that I coach. And what about the SLP who is transitioning out of our field? Any thoughts on resumes and interview tips there?
It depends on what field they're transferring to. So if they're transferring more to the business world, I definitely would rework some of how you say certain things. Just like I have a lot of clients that transfer from the business world into speech pathology, and who need their resume reworked. So, just make sure you're selecting the right power words and that you're focusing on the soft skills that are important to the field that you're applying to, not the one you just got out of. So for example, like people who are transferring in from the business world, sorry, that's what I have experience with. Instead of focusing on more analytics and data, maybe I'd focus more on compassion and empathy and active listening, because those are going to be more important for speech pathologists than analytics. So just kind of looking back and looking at your power words and making sure you're incorporating those.
And then I guess the flip side would be true. A lot of SLPs moving out of our career go into IT. Mm-hmm. and things like that. And so it's taking the skills that we have, communication, building rapport, yes. and moving that into the resume there.
Absolutely. Yes, for sure. And if you are transferring into the speech pathology field, please reach out to me. It is a very challenging resume to write when you're coming from a different field into the speech pathology field. So I'm happy to help you and kind of guide you as to like what you need to include. So it's an important one.
It is. I'm so grateful for your resource, your website. Wow.
Thank you.
So do you have, a lot of questions I get, a lot of clients I get are shifting from the school or the medical setting into teaching CSD programs. Do you have any resumes or tips for them?
So I actually have a teacher on my team. I did this last year because I was getting a lot of the same requests where I was a teacher, I'm coming into speech pathology, or I'm a speech pathologist and I want to become a teacher. So I have found that with those resumes, it's really important to kind of remove the jargon from our resumes. Sometimes we get a little like pragmatic language, or we get semantic feature analysis, like that kind of stuff. And focus it more on the teaching aspect mm-hmm. of it. So focusing more on leadership, focusing more on structure, because teachers need to be a little bit more structured than SLPs, I think, at times. That kind of thing.
It's for sure a different mindset and a skill set. I thought stepping out of my clinic and moving into being an assistant professor would be a little smoother, right? Talk about what I love.
Yeah.
And it's different terminology, different skill set. So having yes. it be reflected in the resume.
Absolutely. Yes.
All right, Demi, one last question. You are part of the What I Didn't Learn in Graduate School series. So what is one thing you did not learn in graduate school that you want to share?
That I didn't have to know everything. I think a lot of grads graduate with the idea that they're supposed to be dysphagia experts and early intervention experts and language intervention experts. And that's just not the scenario. That's not the case. Mm-hmm. So what I wish I would have known is to just learn the basics my first few years, get down the idea of actually just being a speech pathologist, and that the rest will come. You will find your niche, and you will take the CEUs that will get you to become that expert. But right now, just focus on the basics and, you know, helping the kids, building rapport, understanding them, understanding how to help them, or your adults that you work with as well.
All right. Any final comments?
Just last thing I wanted to say was, if you are applying to graduate school, if you are a clinical fellow, if you're a professional SLP, I have resources for everybody. And I absolutely love what I do, and you can see that through my work. So please reach out, follow me on Instagram at SLPResume.
And use the discount code FreshSLP.
Fresh SLP.
There it is.
Yep.
SLP 15.
Yeah.
Excellent. Thank you so much for your time today, Demi.
Thank you, Maddie. I appreciate it. Have a nice day.
I hope today's conversation has created some aha moments for you and motivated you to become a better SLP, continuing to connect some of those missing links between what you know and how to use that knowledge. Thank you for downloading the Missing Link for SLPs podcast. And if you enjoyed the show, I'd love you to subscribe, rate it, and leave a short review. Also, please share an episode with a friend. Together, we can raise awareness and help more SLPs find and connect those missing links and get the information needed to help them feel confident in their patient care every step of the way. Follow me on Instagram and join the Fresh SLP community on Facebook. Show notes are always available, so come learn more at freshslp.com. Let's make those connections. You got this.